that didn't energize you, nothing will. Thank you, choir. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to your word to learn from it, to draw strength from it, to live by it. Open our hearts and minds as we listen today and always. Amen. We are continuing to read Paul's letter to the church at Colossus. It is a church that he has never visited. These are people that do not know him. But even though he has not been part of that church, Paul knows well the problems with starting a new church. He knows the stress of being a new church and a new believer. And so his message to them has been very clear. He has greeted them not as strangers, but as friends and disciples. He has assured them that they are reconciled through Christ, and he has pointed them directly to Christ. Beginning a new venture like this is a scary proposition, even today. Our presbytery has learned the hard way that new churches are not guaranteed to succeed. Many things can go wrong. And if something important goes wrong or a number of little things go wrong, that church may fail. Back in the time of the Roman Empire, faith in Christ could lead not only to ridicule and disbelief, but it could lead to imprisonment and even death. So in today's reading, Paul is assuring them that they have a supportive community praying for them and that they have Paul's full and complete support. Let us read from Colossians chapter 2. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present from you in spirit, and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As the gospel message was spread during the first century, a number of new churches were being formed to provide the new converts with knowledge, with teaching, and with community. And although Paul has never visited Colossus, he is including this church in his community of faith. They are not out on their own. Over the past months, we have talked about what it means to be part of a Christian community, to have the support and love of fellow believers. And it is why Westminster Presbyterian supports new ministries, both those that are forming here in the Charleston area and those that are formed internationally, specifically the ones in Mexico and Brazil. It is as important today to provide support as it was 2,000 years ago. God sent his son to live with us, and when he did, it changed our relationship with him. The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus turned the world upside down. No longer were the rich and powerful deemed to be the most important, but rather the meek, the merciful, the peacemakers. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Loving God and loving our neighbors became the most important commandments. And Jesus reached out not only to those that were within his community, but to those who were on the edge of community. And when he did, he reached out to every single one of us, because each of us, despite everything that we have, despite everything that we value, each of us is on the margin in some fashion. And so we seek community. We may find comfort in being part of a large organization like Westminster. Yesterday, we had the joy of welcoming representatives from all of the Lowcountry churches into Westminster for our presbytery meeting. And it was a joy to have that many different people coming in, merging with our community here, and forming a larger community. But the truth is that we as individuals are sinful, and therefore, each one of us is on the edge in our society today. It can be only a short step from having a family and holding a job to being homeless and pitied by those who still belong. All it takes is a lost job, an illness, one mistake in life, and somebody becomes homeless. In a world of social media, all it takes is one poorly written comment, and the hating begins. In the first century, breaking one of the laws of Moses, proclaiming the gospel, or admitting to be a Christian could not only cause someone to be shunned, but could cause them to be killed. We can lose our place in society or our life very quickly. Now, there is a theme in American Christianity that if you really love God, you will prosper. You will prosper in your job and in your home. Your bank account will grow. If you don't prosper, you are doing something wrong. But Jesus' life shows us that bad things happen to good people. Life happens. Jesus wept at Lazarus' death, even though he knew that he could bring him back to life. He experienced grief at the loss of a friend. Jesus knew frustration. Jesus knew temptation. He knew fear. He knew poverty and homelessness. And he knew being on the wrong end of hate. Most importantly, he knew the agony of death. Life happens, and life is not always good. But through this, Jesus' relationship with his Father stayed strong and trusting. If you think that faith should guarantee you a perfect life with nothing going wrong, then you will be questioning your faith every time something happens. This is the type of teaching, it's not the specific teaching, but it is the type of teaching that Paul is preparing them to withstand. A theology that is superficially attractive, but when you really look at it, it undermines the true gospel. Paul is reminding them that the world is not about us. Faith is not about us. It's about Christ Jesus, plain and simple. Paul is including this church and community not so that they become rich or important in Colossus, but he includes them because the gospel is passed from one disciple to another, one person to another. Interaction and teaching is important. In medical school, there was a saying, each one, teach one. Knowledge and skills are passed from person to person. And that is true here. Each one, teach one. Paul includes this church so that they will have access to true teaching and the true gospel. the full riches of complete understanding, the understanding of what he calls the mystery of God. Now, who doesn't love a good mystery? Hands? Hands? Anybody? I am a fan of murder mysteries. And if they happen to have a British accent, they're better than if they don't. But I have learned over many years that I cannot solve these mysteries. Whether I am reading them or watching them or listening to them on tape, I cannot solve the mystery. I think I know where the plot is heading, but I'm wrong. Now, does this mean I'm just oblivious? Or that if maybe I read more carefully or listened more carefully, I would guess the murderer? No. What it means is that the information is outside of my realm of knowledge. I simply am not given all the information. Mystery, as Paul uses it, comes from the Greek word mysterion. And it denotes that which can be made known only by divine revelation. It is made known in a manner and at a time appointed by God, and it is made known only to those who are illumined by his Spirit. Mysterion denotes a secret which would remain hidden but for revelation. It is made known when God is ready to make it known, and it is made known to those who are filled with the light of the Holy Spirit, God revealed in Christ. And so Paul wraps his arms around this outlying church, encouraging them to unite in love so that they may be filled with the Spirit and able to fully understand the revelation of God in Christ Jesus. His hope is that by understanding this incredible news, their faith will be strong and they will not be led astray. His hope is that they will not fail. And yet the church as a body cannot save us from ourselves. It can't prevent us from going astray. When the doors open and we head back out, we are going as individuals. And as a body of one person, we are more likely to be led astray. So Paul here gets very personal. Support and best wishes are good, but what really has to happen? These Christians have newfound faith, but that faith needs to mature. It needs to become who they are, not what they are. We are members of our church, but living in Christ is personal to each of us, and it is for the long haul. It is that personal relationship that sustains us. Today we had the joy of two baptisms, two young disciples who with their parents have expressed their faith. Yes, Jesus loves me, and yes, I love Jesus. Through the waters of baptism and their expressions of faith, they have become marked as Christ's own. Their roots are forming. Through being raised in a family of believers, being brought to church each Sunday. They are absorbing God's word through Sunday school and children's church. They are forming roots through being part of a community that contends for them, prays for them, and accepts a role in their faith journey. They are similar to the new believers in Colossus who are putting their roots down. If you've ever tried to cut some big trees down, you realize that you have to cut them off. You can't pull them. And that is because those trees have what is called a taproot. A taproot is a large main root that grows straight down into the soil from the plant's center. It provides stability and access to deep water and nutrients. It is thick at the top. It tapers to the bottom. It is a large dominant root from which other roots sprout. It serves as an anchor, especially for young trees. Now, interestingly, taproots also function as storage organs for carbohydrates and proteins that help the tree survive over a cold winter or dry periods. So let's reword that to defining the roots of faith. Faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ provides a large main root that grows down into the soil from a person's center. It provides stability and access to deep water and nutrients. It serves as an anchor, especially for new believers, until the network of surface roots forms. And the gospel of Jesus Christ also functions as a storage for energy and strength that helps believers to survive over times of cold, times of darkness, or times of drought. Now, if I were to ask you, are you a new believer? I think many people would say, no, I'm not. But we are all new believers, and we always will be new believers, because we are constantly learning, and we are constantly better understand the mystery of Jesus Christ. Every time we read or listen or do an activity in the name of God, we will be growing in our faith. And yet it's easy to get sidetracked, with life and work taking up much of our time and energy. It is easier than we may realize to be distracted by other priorities. If we are, however, rooted in Christ, we will have an anchor when storms hit. And they will hit. And sometimes they will hit over and over again. We will not be protected from the hard parts of life by our faith, but we will have the strength of deep roots. We will have what we need to not only survive, but thrive. When we are in Christ, we are never lost, because He always reaches out to us. We are blessed to be saved through the grace of Christ Jesus. When we are the one who wanders away, Jesus leaves the flock and looks for us. When we squander our inheritance and come home in shame, God welcomes us home. We are valued for who we are, not much how much money we make or what our education is. We are saved by our faith in the grace of Jesus Christ. Knowing this, Paul assures the church in Colossus that they have what they need. They've received Christ as their Savior. They've put down roots. Their faith is firm. And so he encourages them now to live in Christ, to be alive in this new life, and to be thankful that we have this opportunity. Even though we're living many years later, Paul continues to wrap his arms around us. By encouraging us to live in Christ, he is also reminding us that we are supported by community, and we must support others in faith. For none of us are protected from pain and sorrow. Paul was not protected from pain and sorrow. Jesus was not protected from pain and sorrow, but we have what we need to thrive. We have accepted Jesus. We are rooted in our baptism. We are rooted in our community of faith. And these roots will provide an anchor. They will give us strength when life is hard, and they will sustain us when life runs dry. So live. Don't just live. Live in Christ. Be rooted in Christ. Know that your strength is there, and be thankful. Thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you.